Book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts, chapter 16. And we will read together in this chapter, beginning at verse 6. Acts, chapter 16, and the verse number 6. Let us hear God's word. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own word. Let's have a word of prayer before we come to the Lord's message. Let us seek the Lord together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that even now as we come to the word, that very grace of which we've sung might be manifested and revealed to both thy people and to those in this gathering who are still without Christ. We pray, Lord, that we will be very conscious of thy presence and know the hand of God in our souls in this time that we spend now around thy word. Bless us, help us, breathe on us, we pray, and grant us the touch of God. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're turning to Acts chapter 16, to verses 14 and 15. Acts 16, verses 14 and 15, where we read of Lydia, that woman of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, who heard the apostles preach, but whose heart needed to be opened by the power of the Spirit of God. These are the verses that we want to consider, and this is the subject, the opening of the sinner's heart. William Cowper's famous hymn, "God Moves in a Mysterious Way," is an accurate and a biblical presentation of the great truth of the sovereign providence of God. That hymn is designed to show that the Lord arranges all the affairs of life so that all that he has foreordained infallibly comes to pass. That providential arrangement and execution of all the decrees of God takes place, of course, in every realm. And it is certainly seen in the marvelous manner in which the Lord brings sinners unto himself, the way in which he brings about the salvation of sinners. When the Lord purposes to save man, of course, as He has done, He will ensure that every detail is in place in order to bring about those sinners unto Himself. Now, the conversion of Lydia is a marvelous example of the sovereign providence of God and arrangement of God in the salvation of a soul. Lydia was a citizen of Thyatira, which was a city in Asia, or Asia Minor, more strictly speaking. Thyatira itself was, or later became, the home of a Christian church. And there in that city there was raised up a work for God. It's mentioned in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 as being one of the seven churches of Asia. But the Christian church of Thyatira in Asia did not exist at this time or prior to the time in view here in this passage, for the simple reason that the gospel had not yet been preached in Asia. Indeed, this very passage shows us that Paul and his company were not permitted by the Spirit of God to preach the word in Asia at this juncture. If you go back there to verse 6, the very verse where we began to read, we're told that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. At this time, in the spread and the development of the Church of Jesus Christ, it was not the Lord's will for the gospel to go to that area, to the province of Asia. The Spirit of God guided Paul and his company in another direction altogether. Specifically, he directed them to Philippi, in the region of Macedonia, in what is now Eastern Europe. But notice here the marvelous providence of God. Because when he guided the missionary group, Paul and his company, from Asia to Europe, at the same time, he had brought to Europe from Asia, from the very city of Thyatira, this woman, Lydia, whose conversion to Jesus Christ is recorded in these verses. And therefore, when Paul and his colleagues set foot on Europe, for that's what we're reading of here in these verses, when they set foot on Europe, this woman from Asia was already living in Philippi. God had arranged in a wonderful way her affairs. We know not how, but He had arranged all her affairs so that she was living in the very place where she would hear the gospel and be brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not have a mighty and a sovereign and a wonderful God who can arrange right down to the very last detail every affair that must be arranged to bring about the conversion of a sinner? We certainly do. And this passage makes that so clear. Now, Lydia already had an acquaintance with the truth, or with the Word of God. We are told that she worshipped God as we read these verses. Here is a woman who was formerly a heathen, because coming from Asia, from Thyatira, she would have been a heathen, a Gentile, but she's become a proselyte, as they were called, to the religion of Israel. Now, we are given no information at all as to when her adherence to Jewish religion actually took place. But these verses show that she frequented this prayer meeting by the riverside, right there in Philippi. That gathering for prayer was most likely the only Jewish assembly in the whole city of Philippi. I say that because whenever Paul and his colleagues went everywhere to new ground to preach the gospel, the very first thing they would have done was to seek out the assembly of the Jews, the synagogue, wherever it might have been. And since they were in that city a few days and the Sabbath came round and they went right to that very spot, that riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, we would certainly conclude, therefore, that this was the only location for Jewish worship in the city of Philippi. But in the mercy of God, in the providential mercy of God, this woman Lydia was present at that prayer meeting. She came into contact with these missionaries, and she was eventually brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, while Lydia was a worshipper of God, while she was present at that place, as our Bibles put it, where prayer was wont to be made, she was not a believer. Her heart was not right with God. Lydia is representative of so many who frequent places of worship where there's prayer offered, where the Word of God is opened up, and yet they have no saving knowledge of the Lord or the power of the gospel. They may have a knowledge of God, and many, many do. They are worshippers of God after an outward sort. They join together in religious services to hear the preaching of God's Word. But while such activity is taking place in their lives, and of course it's better than no attachment to the gospel at all, while such activity is taking place in their lives, it is not enough. It is not sufficient. You see, in the ultimate sense, it is actually a tragic situation to have an acquaintance with the truth, to be in a place where there's an outward adherence to the things of God and to the worship of God and to the Word of God, and yet have nothing more than that. It's a tragic situation because it can only lead eventually to eternal and final ruin. And that's exactly where Lydia was heading. She was a worshipper of God. No doubt she was a good woman in many ways. But we are told in these verses that her heart needed to be opened. And that's the subject to which we're going to come this morning as we consider these verses 14 and 15 of Acts chapter 16. We find here from this passage very clearly presented that it was the opening of Lydia's heart that brought about the vital change in her life that had to take place. And that vital change in her entire spiritual situation that was so essential, that was necessary, that was imperative. There was an opening up of her heart. It says here in verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, in recent weeks, I have been speaking to you upon the subject of the work of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the Spirit convicting, and we spent two Sunday mornings on that particular theme of the Spirit convicting men of their sin. Here we come to another aspect of the work of the Holy Ghost, where we read of the opening of the sinner's heart. And here is something for which the church must pray, and earnestly pray, that even in gatherings like this, or all over this very town, the Lord would come and do what He did for Lydia, that her heart might be opened so that she would attend, as it puts it here too, the things that were spoken. My friend, that's what we need to see. And for that, we must pray with all our hearts and with all our minds. Many of you sitting here this morning who are the people of God have family members right in this very congregation. And you must lay hold on God that God will open their hearts. Are you praying for that? Do you have any concern about a son or a daughter, or a father or a mother, whatever the relationship might be, who at this point in time, sitting in a worship service, either now or at some other juncture, is lost, the heart closed, against God, against truth, against the gospel, knowing nothing of its saving power? Believer, does it not concern you? Does it not trouble you? Does it not fill your heart with sadness and sorrow that you have loved ones around you? And like Lydia, they must have their hearts opened, or they will surely perish. That's just how urgent it is that the people of God would set themselves to pray for the opening of the hearts of the unsaved. May I show you, first of all, that the sinner's heart is opened to provide an entrance for Christ. Then Lydia's heart was shut. That's obvious from the text. Since the Lord opened her heart, it simply infers that her heart was shut. And that's the natural state, spiritually shut, that is. That's the natural state of the human heart. It's shut against the gospel, it's shut against the truth, and against the Lord Himself. You see, when the heart is opened up, it's simply indicating, as we will see today, that the Lord Jesus Christ is entering into that heart. Because the Bible does speak of the Lord by His Spirit dwelling in the hearts of those who are saved. And therefore, the opening of this woman's heart was to give entrance to Christ. Because her heart was closed, as the heart of every man or woman is by nature. The heart is naturally closed against God and His truth and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's closed because of the depravity of sin. You see, sin's depravity has perverted and twisted the whole thinking and reasoning of the sinner so that he cannot in any way appreciate Christ. Dear believer, get to terms with that. That's why it's serious that your loved ones, their hearts are still closed. It means that they don't appreciate Christ due to the depravity of their natural heart. They just can't come to terms with or understand the glories of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, the power of Christ. They know nothing of that because of the depravity of sin. Then, of course, their hearts are closed because of the defiance of sin. Her heart was closed. And there's a thought there of defiance. And I want you to see this. As I said there, she was no doubt a very good woman from an outward perspective. Worshipping God, she was. Found in a place where prayer was wont to be made. And yet, unregenerate. A woman who, despite that outward position that she occupied, yet in her soul there was a natural defiance of the Lord. It's there in every sinner's heart. It's not something that's common only to a certain segment of humanity. It is the very condition of all men, naturally speaking. The whole human race is a race of people whose hearts are against God, shut against Him, closed against Him, not only by the depravity of sin perverting their very ability to appreciate the things of God, but also because of the very power of sin leaving them in defiance of God. A closed heart is the sign of a sinner in rebellion against God. And my friend, that's why we must pray that God in mercy will open those hearts to give entrance to the Lord Jesus Christ within those souls. This opening of the heart that provides an entrance for Jesus Christ is a supernatural act. You see, look there at the very word that's used, the word opening. Or the word opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. It means to open up completely. It's a word that's found 8 times in the New Testament. And it's used with regard to miracles. I want you to see one of those instances. Turning over to Mark chapter 7. And look with me at verse 34 and verse 35. And here you have brought out the intensity of this word. That means to open up completely. Mark 7, verse 34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, that is to the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now here is a vivid picture of the miraculous opening of the sinner's heart. It's the very same word. It says in that 35th verse, it says his ears were opened. They were shut. This man was totally deaf. He could hear nothing, obviously. The Lord comes along. The Lord prays. The Lord touches this man. And as he performs the mighty act of miraculous power, that man's ears are instantaneously opened up completely. And you notice as well that his tongue was loosed. And he spake plainly. You see, my friend, when the sinner's ears, the sinner's heart, when they are closed and shut against God, no sinner can speak properly unto the Lord. But when the Lord opens up the ears of our understanding and our hearts, then we are given a new language. Then we're able to speak properly. This is what this miracle shows us. But look at the words, to open up completely. Here's a demonstration of it. This is what happened in Lydia's case. Her heart was opened. It therefore was a supernatural act of God, even by His Spirit. In fact, if you look at that verse there in Mark 7, where the Lord opened up that man's ears, remember the Lord performed that not by virtue of His own deity, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord's whole ministry was exercised by the power of the Spirit resting on Him. So when He touched that man and opened up his ears, it was an action of the Spirit of God resting on Jesus Christ. And we know that from Acts 10:38, where it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. All of the Lord's miracles were performed by the power of the Spirit. And therefore this opening up of that man's ears was the act of the Spirit upon Christ. Therefore, since the same word is used in Acts 16, the opening of Lydia's heart was an act of the Spirit of God. It was a supernatural act. I want you to see this. Lydia did not open her own heart. Paul did not open her heart. He couldn't. He preached. He gave the word. But he did not open her heart. It says, the Lord opened her heart. Because this is a supernatural act. And brethren and sisters, that is why I urge upon you to pray for this. Here's the very thing that we need to see happening among our family members and loved ones in this town and farther afield. We need the supernatural act of the Spirit of God opening the hearts of men. If that does not happen, they will perish. It's a supernatural act. What need there is to pray for it? There is also a spiritual act. This took place, of course, in the spiritual realm. The reference to her heart when opened is certainly not physical, nor is it some psychological manipulation that is in view here, but rather it is a spiritual act altogether. This opening in view here is actually a synonym for the new birth. When the Lord opened this woman's heart, what was going on? She was being born again. It's very interesting that this same word, this opened, is actually used in the Gospels of the opening up of the womb. Luke chapter 2, what refers to Mary going to the temple with Christ. And then it quotes from the law that the first child to open up the womb would be dedicated to the Lord. It's the very same word. Now you think about that very carefully. What is this spiritual act? As I just told you, it's a new birth. And the words associated with birth in the New Testament, the natural birth, the very same word is used, but this is a spiritual birth. This is the heart that's closed, being opened up, and life being produced. Isn't that what happens when there's a birth? There's the opening up, and there's the bringing forth of that which is a living thing. And this is what's going on in this woman's experience, this woman Lydia. God is opening her heart. There's a new birth taking place. As I have shown you already in these studies on the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of men, as we looked at the Spirit convicting, so I show you again today the emphasis on the Word of God. It says in verse 14, Lydia heard. Lydia heard. She's hearing the Word. And then go back to verse 13, part B, where it says that these missionaries, they sat down and spake unto the woman, the woman which resorted thither. So notice here that the word's very much in view. As Lydia's heart is opened in this supernatural, spiritual manner, the word of God is being preached. And again, notice the order. Lydia heard, and then her heart was opened. She heard. There's the mind being addressed, and then the heart is touched.
This is always God's order, my friend. The mind is addressed with the truth, and as the mind is addressed with the truth of God, as in Lydia's case, what happened? There was a prizing open of her heart. Oh, the power of God's Word. The mighty power of the Scriptures to prize open hearts that are shut against the Lord. That is why I keep exhorting you to get the unsaved under the sound of the Word. Because God shows us in His book that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. That is why, dear father and mother, you should never give up hope for those children of yours who have been taught the Word of God, because that Word will yet spring up and bring forth fruit. As you pray over it, as you plead with God to take what they have heard and apply it to their hearts, my, it's with the Word that the spiritual act of the opening of the heart takes place. And then, it is a sovereign act. This opening up of Lydia's heart, it was the Lord actually conquering this woman, preparing His own way, as I put it earlier, for His entrance into her heart. As I told you, the Lord does dwell in the hearts of His people. Ephesians 3 verse 17 makes it so clear, where Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The Lord dwells in the hearts of His people. He lives there. He resides there. And therefore, in the opening up of the heart, there is the preparation made for the entrance of the Lord by His Spirit into that heart. Look at Romans 8 verse 9. A verse that brings this out so clearly. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, where the Apostle Paul speaks of the Spirit of God dwelling in believers. He says this, Romans 8, 9, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The Spirit of God dwells in believers. But look at what it says in the end of the verse. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Notice this. The Spirit of God dwells in God's people, but who is He? He's the Spirit of Christ. What is this saying? It's simply telling us that Christ, by the Holy Spirit, dwells in the hearts of those whom He saves. Those hearts that are opened up. Christ, by the Spirit, dwells there. He makes them His residence. He makes them the place where He abides and where He has His habitation. They become a habitation of God by the Spirit or through the Spirit. Now, is this not indeed a supernatural, spiritual and sovereign act, that God would open people's hearts and have them come, have Himself come by His Spirit and dwell there? My friend, that is indeed sovereign grace. There their hearts are shut and closed and fast bolted against the Lord. They're like Jericho. It's an illustration of this. It says that Jericho was straitly shut up. Closed against God, closed against His people. And that's what the heart of man is like. It's a citadel. It's his own little empire. And he wants nothing of God. He wants nothing of Christ. He wants to have his own way and go according to his own desires. And yet God in His mercy comes along and He begins to open up that soul and live there. That is sovereign grace. The act of God. And without that, my dear friend, no man will ever be saved. This is the Word of God. And for this we must pray. And as that sovereign act of opening up the heart takes place, the understanding is opened and light is received. Furthermore, the affections are opened and love for Christ is received. And even going beyond that, the will is opened up and the law of Christ is received. When God opens a sinner's heart by His sovereign power, all of this takes place. There is indeed an opening of the understanding. And that sinner begins to understand what formerly he could not understand. He receives light. He receives knowledge. He receives truth. The Bible speaks of the Lord opening up the understanding. Luke 24 and verse 45. Then opened He their understanding. Now that's spoken of Christians. But if it's spoken of Christians, that the Lord opens their understanding more and more and more, then how much more does the sinner need it? But the point is, God opens up the understanding. It's the teaching of this book.
Ephesians 1 verse 18, where Paul addresses the Ephesians and he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." You see, my dear friend, until there's this opening, the sinner never understands the gospel. But when there's an opening up of the heart, it includes this opening of the understanding, and light comes home to the soul. Understanding comes into the heart. That person has the light of the glorious gospel shone into his very being, and he begins to see then his sin and Christ's sufficiency and the need to flee from the wrath to come. There's also an opening up, as I said, of the affections, because the sinner then begins to love the Lord. That heart that was shut against him by this sovereign act, as it's opened, there is a love for Jesus Christ born within the soul. Paul speaks of it in Romans 5 and verse 6, where he says, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." And my friend, that's not our love for God, that's God's love for us. The love of God for us is brought home to our souls by the Holy Ghost. You just test yourself. Did you have any sense, awareness, that God loved you? That is, really and truly, before your heart was opened. No, you did not. You neither loved God, of course, nor did you know that He loved you until your heart was opened. Now, you may have heard that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You have heard the verses, and many do. But it didn't mean anything to you until your heart was opened. Then when your heart was opened, the love of God for you was shed abroad in that heart by the Holy Ghost. And you began to feel this. God loves me. God has set His love on me. He's drawn me to Himself. He has brought me out of the world. Why did He do this? But for the fact that He loves me. And therefore the opening of the heart causes the affections of the heart to be opened up toward God, because there is indeed that great truth that we love Him. That's true. But it says it this way: we love Him because He first loved us. And when the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, what did we find? We found that we've begun to love God for the very first time in our lives. We began to love God. Beforehand we cursed Him. We rebelled against Him. We went our own ways. But when the Lord graciously, gently, sovereignly opened up the heart, He did indeed not only open up our understanding, but our affections. And we began to love the Lord. And as I said, the will is opened up. Because you see, the will of the sinner stubbornly refuses to have anything to do with Christ. But when the heart is open, that will is also opened up. And those who are the subject of this great work become willing in the day of God's power. And they are then glad to have Christ. They have a willingness to receive the Lord and submit to the Lord and yield themselves to the law of the King. I want you to see this today. Those who are opened up, their hearts are opened up by the Lord, they don't seek the Lord against their own will. No, my friend, their will is changed. I've heard people teach and say that when the Lord saves someone, He drags that person to Himself, resisting. No, my friend, that's not the way it is. Certainly there may be resistance at a certain time, but when the heart is conquered and the Lord opens that soul, that sinner's glad to get to Christ. He's willing to have the Savior. He sees his lost. He sees there's no hope for him outside of Christ.
And therefore when the heart is opened up, he will gladly, like Zacchaeus, receive the Savior. Now, dear believer, I'm describing for you this morning what the Bible says about how you were saved. Let it sink in. Let it grip your soul. As I said earlier, you did not open your own heart. The Lord opened it. The Lord brought you to submission. The Lord did a miracle. The Lord transformed you. And the glorious thing is, He can do the same for multitudes of others. And we who have experienced this and know this, oh, how we would love that the Lord would do the same for all around us. The true child of God cannot help but feel sad and sorry as he watches the multitudes going down the streets every day on the road to hell. And he pleads with God in the depths of his soul, Lord, do something for them. That's the way the true believer feels. And I would say to you this morning, if you don't feel that way, you are not a true believer. Out of your own experience, if you don't feel for souls, then I fear that you're either so badly away from God, you've lost out with God altogether, and you've no desire after the things of the Lord. And that's a desperate condition to be in. Or your own heart never has been opened. The heart of a child of God has got feelings for others. And while he knows that not all men will be saved, he would wish that they could be saved. Such is the intensity of a soul's desire to see them rescued. When I say that we know that not all men will be saved, I'm simply telling you what the Bible says. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Not all men will be saved. But I tell you, my friend, it gives the true child of God no pleasure to think of the damnation of any man. And he could long that every heart would be opened and every soul be reached by the grace and the power of God. Very quickly, as we draw toward the end of this, notice with me what happened when her heart was opened. We've looked at how it was opened by this great act of God. But what happened? What was the result? Well, very quickly, there were great changes that followed on. The latter part of verse 14 tells us of her faith in the Lord. It says in verse 14, part B, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, those words signify that as her heart was opened, she responded to what Paul was preaching. In essence, she gave attention to the word which was the exercising of faith. She attended the things that the Lord, which were spoken of Paul. How do we know that was the exercising of faith, that there was faith in the Lord? Well, look carefully at verse 15. I want you to see this. And when she was baptized at her household, she besought us, saying, if, and that word if can be read also, since ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Look at the words, faithful to the Lord. They mean a believer in the Lord. So read it that way. Since ye have judged me to be a believer in the Lord, come into my house. The apostles, Paul and his friends, had actually come to the conclusion this woman was truly saved. And how do we know they'd come to that conclusion? Not only by what she says here, but because of the fact they baptized her. It says at the beginning of verse 15, and when she was baptized in her household, the sacrament of baptism was administered to Lydia and her whole house. Notice the word when. When she was baptized. I want you to think about that. Does that not unfair to you that these apostles let some time go by before they baptized her? They did. You see, it's not always true
that people were baptized immediately. They were converted. Some may have been like the eunuch, but here's a woman, and I would say to you, she wasn't. The apostles waited. I don't know what length of time it was, but it says when she was baptized. But you see, they baptized her because they judged her to be a believer in the Lord. And therefore, here is the one, here is the immediate result of the heart being opened. It is faith in Jesus Christ. You see, my dear friend, faith follows the opening of the heart. That's the divine order. Her heart was opened. Then she attended to the things that were being spoken. She rested in Christ, as the verse 15 tells us. She became a believer in the Lord after her heart had been opened. That was the immediate result. And therefore we must pray today for a moving of the Spirit to bring sinners to a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Because that's the divine order. The Spirit moves. The heart is opened. Then they become believers in the Lord. And then, notice her desire for fellowship. Another great result of her heart being opened. She says, come into my house and abide there. She wanted this man, Paul, and all his colleagues to be in her home. She wanted to know more, of course, about the things of God and have fellowship with the people of God. What a test of genuineness in a Christian profession this is. She said, listen, my home is open. Come in. She wanted fellowship. There was faith in the Lord. There was fellowship with the Lord's people. Turn back quickly to Acts 2 and look at verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. Well, we have brought out concerning those on the day of Pentecost the very same thing, even more detail there, but look at it with me just a moment or two. Acts 2, verse 42. It says, and they, that is those converts, those 3,000, on the day of Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Now, as I said, what a test that is of genuineness of our profession of faith and spiritual growth. This matter for this desire for fellowship. Notice here, there was a thirst for doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, we live in a day when many will say to people, you know, doctrine doesn't really matter. What we really want people to have is a good time. And get them together and have them sing repeatedly choruses. And they'll feel good. And they'll be strong. I want to tell you something, they won't be strong. Singing has a place. But the endless, repetitious singing of choruses or hymns or whatever it might be was never designed to build up God's people. What they need is doctrine. My friend, that's a test of your profession. Do you have a thirst for more knowledge, more truth, more doctrine? Then it says fellowship. Notice that order. Doctrine, then fellowship. In the company of the people of God. And then it says the breaking of bread. There's the Lord's table. Then it says prayer. Now, let this sink into our hearts today. All these, and I can only simply, briefly gloss over them for the sake of time. These are the marks of authentic Christianity. And how far short does the 21st century church fall in the light of those marks of genuine Christianity? People brought to Christ, these were sound, genuine converts, remember. There's no doubt about this. All, or about all 3,000 who were saved, they were all genuine converts. They all remained steadfast in doctrine, fellowship, the Lord's Supper, prayer. They couldn't get enough of it. Oh, my friend, what's wrong with today's church? What's wrong with today's church? Why is it so weak and anemic? Why is it so shallow and superficial? Because we don't know anything really today of the power of the Holy Ghost in our churches. And until we get back to first century Christianity with all its authentic marks, we have no right to be at ease or complacent. How can you sit there today as someone who's merely drifting along with a name to live, but I fear you're dead and on the road to hell? And you have no desire for doctrine or fellowship or the Lord's table or prayer. Oh, my dear friend, you would need to waken up. Churches today are filled with people who think they're on the road to heaven and they're on the road to destruction. Not that I am saying these things save anybody, but I am telling you, my friend, when God opens the heart, they are there. They're not there perfectly, but they're there. And this is authentic Christianity. Faith in the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord's people. Gratitude for what had taken place in her life. Didn't she say to them, come into my house? But you ever notice that in Paul's vision that took them to Philippi, it says there was a man of Macedonia. And he said, come over and help us. Now, I was just wondering the other day, I wonder where that man went to. Or who he was. Because when Paul and his company got to Philippi, it would seem they lived in public lodgings until Lydia opened her home. That may be something that's not really of any great importance, but it certainly crossed my mind. It brings out this fact. Lydia was a grateful woman. She says, my home's open. I want you to come in. In fact, you'll notice from the very verse 15, they were reluctant to go. They didn't want to be an imposition on this woman. And it says she constrained us. My dear friend, is this your attitude to the people of God and the things of God? That you certainly not only want fellowship, but that you have a grateful heart, a grateful spirit, and you'll open up your home and your heart and all that you have to further the work of God. That's what's going on here. Here's a woman, and God has opened her heart. And God also opened up her purse. And she was grateful. And she says to these men, whatever I can do, I will do it. There's another result of the heart being opened. She gave herself to the Lord, as Paul puts it to the Corinthians, first. And then all that she had was placed at the Lord's disposal. And may I show you something else as we close today? Another result of her heart being opened, this woman was willing to bear reproach. Because she brought into her home a bunch of troublemakers, as the world saw them. Her home became the base in Philippi. And from that home every day, Paul and his companions would go out to preach. And you'll read in the next few verses what happened. Trouble arose. Opposition descended on that little fledgling work in Philippi. But Lydia was willing to bear reproach and suffer, even being affiliated with a man like Paul, a man who was opposed by the devil wherever he went. And when people's hearts are opened up, They will gladly bear reproach for Christ. Be willing to suffer shame for His name. Be identified with His reproached cause. Is this your position? Oh, may God give to us today this great act of the opening of the heart. May God give us people like Lydia. and do a great work for his own glory. Let us bow in prayer for a moment as we come to the end of our meeting. Our Heavenly Father, we pray today that thou wilt write this word of thine upon our souls. We pray, Lord, for all who are before thee now as we bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to touch us, to still us, to save us, Lord, from the awful tragedy of having a heart that's closed and shut, even though we may worship God, go through the form of religion. Lord, take thy word today and use it to convict people. Lord, use it to open hearts and to bring souls to Christ. To have thy people pray as never before for this marvelous act of God to come about among those all around us. We pray in the Savior's name and for the Savior's sake.